well with you, and you had a good week. I did this morning as we were preparing to leave, and generally I'm encouraging Grace to get ready to go. I thought, well, you know what I'll do? I'm preparing a message for the Days of Unleavened Bread. I thought I'll just print that out quickly and take it with me. You never know what can happen. It may be that the guest speaker won't be here, and somebody will have to fill in. And they, you know, you're always told, I'm not a Boy Scout, but you're always told to be prepared. So, I think there's a lesson during the Days of Unleavened Bread, or as we prepare for the Days of Unleavened Bread, that we sometimes miss out on. And I want to bring that particular principle to mind for you and with you. And turn with me to Deuteronomy 22 and verse 8. Now, some may see this as taking scripture out of context, and they may not even really understand what this particular command that God gave Israel as they entered the promised land has anything to do with the Days of Unleavened Bread. But bear with me for a little while. Deuteronomy 22 and verse 8. There's a whole host of different interesting little commands that God gives Israel, which sometimes we just wonder, what are these all about? What have these got to do with us today? Have they any relevance for us? When thou buildest a new house, then thou shalt make a battlement. That's in the King James Version. In the New King James, it says a parapet or a railing. For you shall build a battlement for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thine house, if any man fall from thence, from there. So God is telling the Israelites, as they go into the promised land, and as they start constructing buildings, that they need to build a railing around the rooftop. Now, that's a command. None of you have a railing around your rooftop, do you? Of course you don't, because we don't sit out on a rooftop and bathe on a rooftop, or go out after a hot day to cool down on a rooftop, as they did in Israel, and as some of them still do. If you look at some of the pictures in Israel, there are still homes that are designed that way. We have a deck out back, and you may have a deck out back of your place, and you put a railing around your deck. Why do you do that? Because it's a code. It's a building code. Now, God is instructing here, Israel is giving them actually a building code. What does that teach us? What does that tell us? And what does that have to do with the Days of Unleavened Bread? Well, it tells us one thing for sure, that God is very concerned about life. He expects us to take necessary diligence to ensure that nobody is harmed. You and I have a responsibility for others, because God thinks life is precious. And if we do anything, either maliciously or through negligence, that causes harm to an individual, the result of that will be that blood is on us. The responsibility is directed towards us. We are held accountable for that. I remember a Mennonite lady telling us that their railing around their deck was getting very fragile and feeble, and they needed to fix it, and they had friends over. And while they were entertaining outside on the deck, one of the children pushed against the railing fell over, and they fell down something like 8 or 10 feet. And fortunately, there was no serious injury. But they were held, that family, particularly that father, because he's probably the one that does the repair work, is held accountable for the injury of that child. That's what God's word has to say. So in essence, we are our brother's keeper, aren't we? We really are our brother's keeper. That's certainly one of the lessons there, that God sees life as precious, that we need to see life as precious, and we need to take the necessary measures to ensure that nobody is harmed, either through malice or through negligence on our part. One of the expressions, okay, you're still wondering, what's that got to do with preparing for the Days of Unleavened Bread? Because probably you have started getting leavening out of your home. If not, you're going to be working over the weekend probably, because there's not a lot of time through the week to do that. So you're looking around your home, you're taking the bread out of your freezer, you're cleaning your fridge out, you're doing what's necessary. I cleaned my car out, I found all kinds of things underneath the car. Some things that were useful, that I didn't know where they were, but there they were. It's like it's a 1 year, you know, I'm grateful for the Days of Unleavened Bread, because my car gets cleaned out at least once a year. But there was popcorn, and there was the crackers that you put in your soup, and so I got all of that out of my car. So there's a lesson there that we need to learn. There's a lesson that God wants us to learn. It's an object lesson that He wants us to learn. And as we're preparing for the Days of Unleavened Bread, that's one of the lessons that I think in some cases we have somewhat not fully understood. We talk about getting sin out of our lives. And we use that general term, but I don't think we fully understand what that all entails or what that actually means. I remember giving a message similar to this years ago. And it went over like a lead balloon, and it may again, I don't know. Because I don't think I got the concept across that I wanted to teach. That I think God's Word teaches. And this command in Deuteronomy 22, in verse 8, has relevance to getting leavening out of your home. When we think of life, and John quoted a scripture in Proverbs 5, he talks about God is aware of our way. He talks about a way. Paul, when he went before Felix, said that he is of the way. There is an aspect, and also in Matthew 7, it talks about narrow is the gate and hard is the way. Let's turn there to Matthew 7, just briefly. 13. Matthew 7, verse 13, for my wife's sake. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So life is the analogy that is given here is that life is like a path that we walk along. And it's a difficult path in some instances. And what is it that keeps us on that path? How do we know where that path goes? I remember once getting lost at one of the feast sites up in the mountains, and I was looking for the way down the hill, trying to find that path. And the path got more and more difficult to find. And Gary, who's here now, happened to be the first voice that I heard in the distance and finally saw a flashlight. My wife and a friend of mine, Pat Reed, were up got lost in the mountains in Quebec at the Feast of Tabernacles. And so I decided I'm going to go up and find these guys. But it was just about sundown. And services were about to begin at church, but I felt I was going to, I tend to be a little bit impetuous at times, so I ran up the top of the mountain, and as I started coming down, I could see the lights coming out in the villages around this mountain. This was a huge, this is not a bush that's a half a mile wide. We're talking tens of miles of bush. And here I am at the top of the mountain, and it's dark, and I'm trying to work my way down, and I can't see where I'm going, because I need the light. I need light. And finally, I see the light in the distance, and it's my friend Gary who's calling me. But life is like a path, and unless you have a light to show you where you're going, you don't know where you're going to get lost. And of course, what is the light? It's the Word of God. It's the law of God that leads us down the right path. It's the law of God is like signposts along the way as you're walking along. It says, this is dangerous. You know, don't go here. Or it might have a sign that there's rattlesnakes in this part of if you're camping up in the Bruce Peninsula. Be careful, because you don't go into this area, because this is dangerous. God's law is like that. It's not a burden to humanity. It's a wonderful thing that directs us where we ought to go. It's not easy to follow that path, because our human nature wants to buck the system. We do not want to do that. We just want to do by nature. We want to do what we want to do. even if it's not good for us. But God's law tells us where the danger is, where the dangers lie. But God says there's an impetus for us, there's a responsibility and accountability that we need to take upon ourselves as well. And that's what this parapet, this railing is all about that I'm referring to. And that's what taking leavening out of your home is all about, because we know the symbolism. When you eat the leavening, well, let's turn there briefly. In Exodus 12, I'll get to the verse in a second here. Exodus 12. We're told in verse 14, "So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, and you shall keep it as a feast for an everlasting ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread." There's one command. 7 days you shall partake of unleavened bread. That is to say, that live a life of righteousness, of doing good, of living the example of Jesus Christ, of having Jesus Christ live within you, and allowing that spirit in you to express itself in a righteous way. "And whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel." That person shall be destroyed. So the second command is, we're not to eat leavened bread, because leavening represents the way of this world. It represents a way that is contrary to God's way. Something that is reflected in leavening, of course, that it puffs up. It becomes all-encompassing. It takes over in our lives, if we allow a little bit of that into our lives. "On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. On the seventh day shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which every one must eat, that only may be prepared for you. So you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. From on this same day I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt, and therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generation as an everlasting ordinance. In the first of the month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days no leavening shall be found in your homes or in your houses." That's another command. Not only are you supposed to eat unleavened bread, not only are you supposed to not eat leavened bread, but you're supposed to take the leavening out of your house. And that's what we're doing right now. And that's exactly what I'm trying to get at here, is that there's an aspect to this that sometimes we overlook. And that is to say that we need to have this parapet, we have to distance ourselves from those things that cause us to sin. If you walk down a path, if you go to Niagara Falls, for instance, and you're walking along the falls there, there's a barrier there. It's made out of stone and there's steel railings. And you can stay on this side of the barrier and you're safe. You're perfectly safe. The dangerous place is the fatal place is, of course, if you go over the edge. But you can, in places, you can actually go over that barrier and stand on ground. That's about maybe 3 or 4 feet from the edge where you actually fall over into the gorge there. But most of us don't want to go over the barrier because it's precarious. You might be fine and you might not be fine. So the barriers are there to protect us from going to the point where it becomes fatal. When we sin, of course, the penalty for sin is death. But we need to keep a distance from the edge. And that's what that barrier is. That parapet keeps us from going to the very edge. It's distancing ourselves from the things in our lives that tend to be, that we become vulnerable to. Now, everybody in this room is different. God has made us very unique. God has made us in such a way that what I have an issue with, suppose I have a problem with alcohol, then putting leavening out of, for instance, now if I drank alcohol and I became drunk, and of course that would be a sin, that'd be the equivalent of eating leavened bread. I'm partaking, I'm becoming, I'm doing something in my life that's contrary to the law of God. I become drunk. But there's more to it than just not drinking that. God says, take the alcohol, in this case, take the leavening, out of your home. Because if it's accessible to you, if you're an alcoholic, you want to take that out of your home and not have it there. If you happen to have a problem with eating disorder, that is to say, you can't stop, you always want to eat, and you're having trouble maintaining your weight. And I can really relate to that right now. Alcohol doesn't have to be my issue, but it might be maybe somebody in this room, that might be your issue. Don't have alcohol in your home. There's a parapet, there's a barrier that you set in your life. Sometimes it's a mental barrier, sometimes it's actually a literal physical barrier. If television is an issue with you, or the internet is an issue with you, you need to distance yourself from those things, because even though you planned in your own mind not to do anything that's contrary to God's law, or to allow yourself to engage in these things, if they're there and available to you, and that's your area of weakness, inevitably, the time will come where you will be mentally in a state of mind, emotionally in a state of mind, where you will give in to that. The lesson that God is saying is, get that out of your home. Get that out of the area of your influence. That could be people, for our young people in our church. It could be individuals that are influencing you in the negative way. Don't, and of course, just being with people that aren't wholesome, that might be doing things that are wrong, isn't of and by itself a sin. But you put yourself in a precarious position. You don't have this distancing between you and the things that might lead you to sin. And that's what taking leavening out of your home is about. That's what the parapet is all about. It's setting up a barrier there. You set up that barrier. God says, don't go over that edge, because if you go over that edge, you're going to die. The penalty for sin is death. We know what that edge is. That edge is the law of God. We wouldn't know what right and wrong is unless we had the law of God. That's what Paul said. We know right from wrong because God has given us a law. Otherwise, we would have our own standards, and that would ultimately lead to problems. But whatever the issue is in your life, whatever the issue is in my life, and as we analyze our lives, as we come before God on Passover or during these days of unleavened bread, as we've examined ourselves, help us, God, to realize, and God will help you and help me to realize, that there are things in your life where you have weaknesses. And we all do. And we all do. And put those barriers between yourself and those weaknesses. Don't walk that fine line. Don't jump over the barrier. Remember that young lady, that Chinese young lady, a student from one of the universities who was down in Niagara Falls, and she decides she's going to jump up on the barrier while they take some pictures of her. And she slipped, and she fell, and it was fatal. She fell into the gorge, Niagara Falls, and she died. But she had that barrier was there for a reason. Even as God's law tells us that we need that we have to have distinction between what is right and wrong, but we don't have to go to that very edge in our lives. In fact, it's imperative for us to keep a distance between us and the things that would lead us to sin. I know some of the things in my life that I have to stay clear of, because potentially, you know, in certain frames of mind, I could handle it without a problem. But under other conditions, who knows what those conditions may be, it could be an issue. I was listening to a man speaking, and he said that him and his wife had an agreement that either one of them would never be in a situation where they would be alone with somebody of the opposite sex. Now, is it a sin to be alone with somebody of the opposite sex? No, it's not. But if you put a barrier there, God doesn't put that barrier there. He says that we need to have barriers. We need to distance ourselves from sin. And that's what taking leavening out of our homes is all about. But God says, have that there. And these individuals had agreed in their family that they would establish that and they would abide by that. Now, in one particular case, he had a meeting with a lady, and he had no other choice but to meet with her. So he called his wife up and he said, "Dear, listen, I have to make an exception to the rule. I'm going to be meeting with this lady, and we're going to have a business meeting, and I'm going to be alone with her for a brief period of time. But I want you to know about that. So in his life, this particular man was saying, he has no idea about the days of unleavened bread that I know of. These are principles that God is teaching us within God's church. But he understood the principle. There's the principle of the parapet that goes far beyond civil laws and civil codes, building codes that are necessary, and they are good and fine. But there's a spiritual lesson, a spiritual dimension in that. Unless you think that maybe I'm stretching the issue a little bit here, you go through those particular laws, and I think you can find that there's always a spiritual dimension to some of these physical laws. Very important to realize that the law of God has not been done away with. Some of those, even if there's never a house built that needs a rooftop railing, that principle will hold true in one way or another. Certainly spiritually. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5. Because we have the lesson here, the lesson of putting leavening out of our home, 1 Corinthians 5, and verses 1 to 13. It's interesting because the letter to the Corinthians is basically during the time of unleavened bread, during this holiday season. And a lot of what Paul says here to the Corinthian church is relevant to the holiday season, this particular holiday season. Now, there was a couple within the church, in verse 1, that were engaged in sexually immoral actions. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as it is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. So there was an incestuous relationship here, and you are puffed up. That is to say that they had become arrogant in their tolerance. Even as in today's society, the only thing that they will not tolerate is intolerance. If you're intolerant, they will not tolerate you. And you know what? As a Christian, we have to be intolerant of certain things. There's a lot of things we need to be tolerant of, but there are certain things that God tells us we need to be intolerant of. In today's society, that does not go well. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from you. For I, indeed, that is to say, they haven't distanced themselves from this individual who professed openly that he was sexually and she was sexually immoral. For indeed, as absent in the body but present in the spirit, I have already judged as though I was present concerning him who has so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus, deliver such a one to Satan. John talked about this place of safety. When we are within God's protective hand, in the body of Christ, within the church, this universal church, I'm not talking about any one group, I'm talking about the universal church. When you're in God's hand, you are under his protection. It says, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So this was for the good of the individual here. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leavening leavens the whole lump? Here's the principle. You allow this individual, you tolerate this individual who is sexually immoral to be part of your fellowship, and you know what's going to happen? It's going to bring you down to a level. Your level of morality is going to descend to his level or in that direction. You cannot tolerate that because that will infest the church. It becomes like a disease. Even as the Israelites were to put a leprous individual outside of the camp until that individual was considered clean and not infected anymore, then they could come back into the camp. Therefore, purge out the old leaven, in this case, this individual. Distance yourself from this individual who has a negative influence on you. Now, was it a sin to be in contact with this individual? Not often by itself. But it made them vulnerable to that mentality with that which that would eventually lead them to sin. Therefore, purge out the old leavening, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ our Passover was sanctified for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with the old leavening, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So here's this same principle. Whatever it is in your life, whether it's an individual, whether it's a thing or a drug or whatever it is in your life that can take a hold of you or has a hold of you in the past that you've freed yourself from, keep a distance from that in your life. Put that parapet, put that barrier that we read about in Deuteronomy 8 between you and that dangerous point. Keep a distance from the edge. Don't walk that fine line that is a precarious line that could lead you to acts that might be fatal to you spiritually. Now I know when you walk along the way, the Christian way, there are times where you fall and stumble. And God helps you and he picks you up and we carry on. Sometimes we even fall into the ditch. But there are places along the way that could eventually lead to fatality. We talked about the unforgivable sin. Through lack of proper direction in our lives, there can come a point where our absence with God, the absence of our relationship with God, could eventually, through time and neglect, and even through malicious actions, lead to the point where we will not repent. It's not because God will not forgive us. It's because our frame of mind has come to the point where through pride or whatever it is, we will not turn back to Him and repent. And that is a distinct possibility. So as we prepare for these particular days ahead of us, there are three lessons, of course. There's the lesson of eating the leavening bread, which is so very important. There's a lesson of avoiding the eating of the leavened bread, which represents, of course, sin. And there is putting the leavening out of our lives, which is putting a parapet, which is putting a barrier, which is putting a distance between us and the things that could cause us to sin. So as we gather our leavening and we cast it out of our homes, be reminded of this particular lesson, because sometimes we forget that putting sin out of our lives isn't necessarily the avoidance of sin, it's avoiding those things that can lead us to sin. So as we keep these days, I hope that God blesses you and your efforts, as I hope He blesses me and my efforts to search my own life and to find the things that would have a negative impact on my relationship with Him, and also the things that would enhance that relationship and strengthen me and strengthen each one of us and tie us together through God's Holy Spirit.